Yo, who's got the Friday feeling? I got the Friday feeling. Hats are backwards. We got to talk a little about Ford doing a little maneuvering. Tesla doing their little maneuvering. Walmart doing their little maneuvering.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who everybody, I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If I said it once, no need to repeat.
Let me just warn you that the word Christmas is going to come up in the podcast today. It was a little too early for me when I read the article.
It almost made me throw up, but I understand because we're approaching October 1st, which is the time that Home Depot gets thrown up on by Christmas.
Well, Home Depot got thrown up on by Halloween in like August 12th.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean,
yeah, they were like, oh, Memorial Day's over. When's the next holiday?
Fireworks Labor Day doesn't count. Gigantic jack-o'-lantern guy that's going to scare my kids in, right?
Actually, I think Hobby Lobby had Christmas going in June. That was
that's kind of on brand for them. If I ever needed Christmas stuff in June, I would probably check Hobby Lobby.
Speaking of Christmas
stuff, boy. This is what? Are we stopping?
No.
Okay, yeah. There you go. You just got that.
I was just going to say, you know, hey, we're going to do a year-end extravaganza. That's the official announcement. We've already talked about it.
That's a great early announcement.
Where it is, but it's a seriously early announcement. If you're paying attention, we're doing another year-end extravaganza. We're going to throw down more than we did last year. And we're going to have a whole bunch of fun. We're going to fill your December with some joy and happiness, and maybe the Grinch will show up.
He did last year in Paul Walzer's basement, strangely enough. Look, the auto industry has been it went too long without a proper Christmas show. And last year, we're like, there are only two people that are willing to fix that. And we actually wore jackets and ties, and we got a live band, and they played on the live stream. Look, if you're kind of new to the Asotaverse before, like really within the last 10 months, you probably wouldn't even know this, but you can go to our YouTube channel, which is Asotube, Asotu.be. Scroll down a little bit, and it's the year-end extravaganza. You can see it. It was a lot of fun. It's probably a lot of fun to rewatch because we had, I mean, think about the guests we have and some of the people we had actually popped off in the meantime. Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas, like right. He is like massive celebrity now.
And now he's like got his own ESPN show.
We're not saying it's because he was on the year-end extravaganza. But it's awfully coincidental. No. We're definitely.
So if you want to blow up next year, no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, well, that was an interesting announcement for Friday, September 23rd. But there it's, we go. I mean, September, it's the 23rd.
Christmas feeling. It just okay,
we'll get to Christmas in a second. Another couple other things going on. We're going to be at the NAMAD conference in less than 20 days in Miami. We're going to be at running the creative track for the Modern Retail, Brian Pasch's Modern Retail Conference in November in Palm Beach. Boy, we're going to be in Florida a lot. I guess it's a good time of year to be in Florida. Just don't send me to Florida in June. Please don't ever ask me to do that. Don't ever ask me to do that. And we're releasing some Auto Collabs episodes. If you don't know, Auto Collabs is our other podcast where we invite our friend Michael Cirillo in, and we have a little bit of more of a long form conversation. We have a ton of fun with it.
So much fun.
Have a ton of great guests. Is today Charlie Chesbrough? Is that today? Is that who it is today? Is that yesterday? I don't remember anymore. But either way, if you search,
we're gonna get a note sometime here.
If you search Auto Collabs,
today.
The production team's like, yes, you idiots. That's why it's in the show notes.
That's why we got a production team.
I know. But we have a little bit of news to talk about, and it's fun. Today's, I feel like we got like some fun stuff. We're going to take you on a whole journey and end up with a little bit more Christmas spirit. But Ford announced a sizable reorganization of their executive team yesterday, shifting some experienced Ford execs, redefining some of their roles, and then adding some talent from outside the industry, which we always love to hear, to their ranks. I mean, this all coincides with their longtime product and purchasing chair, Hao Tai-Tang, who was part of the announcement. As CFO, John Lawler will oversee and remake Ford's global supply chain, right? He's just going to oversee these extra responsibilities until they find a permanent fit. Doug Field, who was, get this, Chief Advanced Technology and Embedded Systems Officer.
That's a title.
Put that on a business card. They made it a little simpler, and now it's Chief Advanced Product Development and Technology Officer. So that actually broadened the scope a little bit.
The CAPDTO.
Duh.
Exactly.
EIEIO. In his current duties, he oversees EV software, but now he's also going to be in charge of design and vehicle hardware engineering. So it's good to bring the software and the hardware together. Companies that do that well, they tend to make really great products.
Right? Yes,
exactly. Right. From outside the industry, they're bringing in some new folks. Former VP and global head of software at HP, Roz Ho, will be Ford's chief connected vehicle software officer. There's just a lot of things going on here. And this is probably the biggest one, maybe. Rob Betacek, who comes from a background including a couple little companies called Apple and Intel. He's going to be the executive director of platform architecture.
Sounds like a lot of software stuff going on here.
Not quite the car guy feel, is it? Ford CEO Jim Farley said, quote, developing and scaling the next generation of electric and software-defined vehicles requires a different focus and mix of talent from the accomplished Ford team and many exciting new colleagues joining our company. They're probably excited.
I got a bone to pick.
I know where this is going already.
I think automakers should stick to auto. I'm calling it right now.
You got to explain that one.
Because here's the thing. I get we want to have these software services, and I get we want to have technology in the car, and I get all of that stuff. But for literally the last 20 years, we've been trying to keep up with auto. Even up until now, I've still not found, we talked about this many times, there has not been an infotainment or ecosystem that is integrated in the car that looks, feels, operates, is as fast as needed. Like, there's not a single one out there that's good. It's not even good. Not great. Not even good have we accomplished yet. So what's the, like, well, I mean, honestly,
doesn't that actually though support the argument that they need to bring some other people in?
No, because my thing is, like, there's a whole bunch of other technology partners out there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying just leverage the other technology and stop building it yourself.
Leverage other technology, right? You know, it doesn't make any sense.
The allure of going vertical is such a tempting one. And I think in Jim Farley's case, there's like, this is all presumption, but there is this public desire to be seen as a technology leader because it's a real sexy thing right now.
Yeah. It's like sexy to be Elon Musk, right? But not everybody's
Elon Musk.
Can't
say that, but it's true. Right. But, well, since we're picking on Jim Farley for a minute, he'll never hear this. Maybe he will. I don't know.
Yeah, and then we get it shipped in a cease and desist.
No, we're not going to get that. You don't care about that. Just send him a picture of us. He'll be like, oh, we're fine.
Oh, right? These guys.
No, yeah. So you and I were having this conversation because a dealer friend of ours sent us a podcast, a popular podcast, where people were throwing dealers under the bus, right? And they were inside the dealership model. And one of the things that comes up is Jim Farley's public-facing rhetoric that dealers basically add $2,000, using a dealer network adds $2,000 to the price of every used vehicle. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to translate that into consumers thinking like, yeah, dealers are ripping us off even more, or dealers are bad for us.
At minimum, right?
However,
it may not be ripping us off. Yeah.
So that's like facing the customer. And then you go to Las Vegas and It was last week. And it's like, we really need our dealer network to be strong. Right? And it's like the rah-rah session. Here's how we're going to make it better for dealers. And it really feels like there's two sides being played here. It just does. Yeah.
There's so many times that this has happened in OEM and even industry partners. Like, you look at historical two-sided marketplace advertising campaigns that vilify the dealer, yet take the majority of their funds from the deal. Like, oh man, you got me fired up on a Friday.
Listen,
let's get Jim,
we'll give him a chance to explain it. What's going on?
I know.
Just come on the show.
Let's talk about it, because this is a real issue, because it literally, we keep talking about this. It takes everyone. It takes the consumer. It takes the OEM, the dealer, the industry partner, all coming together going, hey, look, we're all here to solve the customer experience. Let's stop fighting each other.
The house can't be
making
divided.
It harder for each other.
It can't be. And like, I know there's so many great Ford dealers that want to so badly support the new Model E initiative. And it could be good.
And there's a lot that are great. And they should. They should be Model E certified. That is something that I think Ford dealers and any dealer that is looking to, like, if you're a Nissan dealer and you can be GTR certified, you should do it. Whenever you can be better for the customer, you should do it. And the OEM is calling you to that. But there are these other places where the house is still divided, and that's not a positive thing for the consumer the dealer, or the OEM.
Truth. I think that's all we have to say about that. I think we've said too much already. Probably.
I know, right?
It's okay.
Let me get a hand slap today, but it's okay. Come along a ride with us.
Getting your hand slapped. Or should I say, speaking of getting your hand pinched, Tesla recalled over 1 million vehicles in the U.S. due to abnormal variations in response to window reversal during pinch detection, meaning your finger's in the window and it rolls up and it's not consistent in the way, like how much pressure it takes to pull back. The National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration stated the recalled vehicle's automatic reversal system did not meet the standards of Federal Motor Vehicle Statement. Funny thing is, Tesla is the one that brought this up, saying we detected some abnormalities and had it looked at. You know, they said, you know, it could have excessive force and injure a driver, distract your driver. You get the point. Here's the interesting part of the story. Tesla just corrected it via an over-the-air software update.
Boom. No visit to a dealership. No recall email. No letter. Just an update.
Just think about, let's reverse engineer this for a second. And what happens if this is kind of the traditional recall mode? What happens at that moment? Okay, it has to be recall. Immediately.
I'll walk you through it. Ready?
Please do.
I'll walk you through it. And the manufacturer says, okay, we got everything recalled. It stays kind of internal until they figure out whether the parts or the service that they can do for another month and a half can actually be executed upon.
Deployed, right.
Then someone says to the marketing department, we need to ship a letter and an email out to 100% of the vehicle owners that own this vehicle. That thing gets dropped at 9 o'clock on that morning. The day after that thing gets dropped at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everybody gets home and gets their letter. A billion dealers start getting calls from all of these customers, to which their BDC responds, what recall? Not because their BDC doesn't care, but because they actually haven't been communicated about it, because it actually gets communicated to the customer first. And so then you have to figure out whether you got the loaner vehicles or the parts or the service, or whether your X time is set up to handle the capacities based on the number of people that are going to influx, and whether or not you have your technicians on vacation because you just got made aware of it when the customer got made aware of it. And then the customers come in and they spend about 45 minutes in the shop to get a software technology thing
fixed, right?
Which is a great opportunity for the dealer to retain a customer, so you get customer care, but you're always on the recoil on that one. Or
update.
Update.
Update. I mean,
one of the two.
I know the cool thing about this is that, you know, we're moving to a future where more cars will be outfitted to do this. CEO Elon Musk, of course, he had something to say about this on Twitter, and he was actually a little perturbed that we're going to call this a recall, even though the Highway Safety Administration is like, well, actually it fits all the definitions. He said the terminology is outdated and inaccurate. This is a tiny over-the-air software update. To the best of our knowledge, there have been no injuries. Right. So Tesla's like, hey, we brought this up. We are like, we cannot fix it this way. And now it's a recall. And now it's in the news. And now these two jabrones are on YouTube or wherever talking about it.
These two jabrones. But hey, look, I get it. I get his point, because it's like Apple doesn't have to recall a million iPhones.
I know, but there are rules in place.
There's a safety issue. I get it. It's not like iPhones are burning up in your pocket.
It is. Well, I totally could, I guess. It's got a battery in it. But
hey,
but either way.
I'm impressed. Color me impressed that they solved a recall with an over-the-air update. And I'm excited to see more technology introduced to where we can solve some of these problems without, I think it's just going to be better for the customer. And think the dealer's going to find other ways to serve the customer. Might free us up to do things that are actually easier and better for the customer, instead of having to worry about software updates.
Being on your heels. No one's excited to be there.
Anyway. No one's excited.
Well, speaking of making things easy for the customer.
That's right.
Segway.
That's right.
It's Christmas time, y'all. All right. This
should have had like a Christmas song playing.
Oh,
Christmas time.
That would have been amazing. Everybody would have been like, oh, that would have stopped the ticker for a second. So Walmart is positioning itself to not only be the lowest priced retailer, which it always positions itself that way for the Christmas season, but is also positioning itself to be the easiest place to shop as it rolls out their no concerns return options for those looking to get an early start on shopping. So three big things that are coming out. The first one is for everybody. So there is an extended return window for anyone shopping from October 1st Your items are eligible return all the way through January 31st of 2023. We know in previous stories, we've talked about, you know, early sales, early Christmas specials, retailers trying to get in with consumers early to get shopping done early, because I guess they're probably thinking, you know, the financial position of the economy is not going to improve. So getting more people to make decisions now is probably beneficial. Yeah. So Walmart is smart. They're putting it right out there saying like, hey, don't worry about it. Buy it now. You can bring it back if you end up not needing it. So
it's like a baby registry. It's so smart, right? Like, I mean, they do this all the time with baby registries and wedding registries. It's just like passing that on to Christmas registries. It's the same gifting philosophy. So I'm
remembering what I had to do for my wedding registry and how different it probably is now. You had to like go to a kiosk and they gave you a scanning gun and there's all this paperwork.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
I wonder what
you got to
like
go
now.
Through the whole store.
You got to walk through the store and then, and some of the stuff is only available in your local store, right?
In your local store. So then it's like, nah, someone can't get that. They're like, that's so funny.
Remember that?
Yeah. I think about, the difference between like me doing that and then we just had a baby. And so like that registry was like, bing, 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 all done on Amazon. Select, select, easy. Select.
Oh, you man, know. Amazon. Oh, I'm so old now. Amazon, right? Amazon.
All right, get to the next point.
Yeah.
These are actually better.
It's tied in with Amazon. So if you're a Walmart Plus member, which is basically like Walmart's Amazon Prime,
right?
So you now can do curbside returns. Everyone's used to curbside pickup. Now you can do curbside returns where you can just hand the product to a rep. They'll scan it and you're done. But this one takes the cake. It is. They will come to your house to pick up your return. That is so next level.
Let me ask you something. If a dealer was ever like, hey, we have a return policy also, we'll come get it. Why wouldn't you?
Right. Like, if Walmart's going to do it for like a $6
like a
item.
$13 thing.
I went even lower. Right.
We'll
but
come pick up the car, swap everything over. Not a problem.
So, just think of the convenience they're entering into just basic low level retail. I think this is a great just excuse taker awayer to just say like, look, Walmart's doing this with at scale, at mass, right? And they're taking a swing, right? Who knows how it's going to work out?
Right?
And it could be a total disaster.
Something that people care about. They might. Who knows? Maybe people don't even like. It's not a thing. I doubt it. But
I doubt it too. I think like just as retailers, one of the reasons we include this retail stuff so frequently in this show in all of our other content is because retail is retail and automotive is retail. And so listening to what consumers are doing, looking at the other major retailers and decisions they're making and trends that you're seeing should be internalized for how we're delivering services and what we are doing as an industry. So we hope that at the very least, this retail stuff, like, you know, some people, you know, might think like, oh, why are you talking about retail? Why are you talking about pop culture? The reason we do it is because your consumers are retail-minded folks who are involved and enveloped in pop culture constantly.
If they're buying stuff, they have expectations based on the cultural norms, and Walmart sets cultural norms. So watch out for their expectations about your retailing experience based on their alternate retail experiences.
I think that is enough show for Friday.
We came hard on a Friday.
That was probably the hardest Friday show we've ever done. So thank you so much for being here. Finish Friday strong. Go crush Saturday if you're doing it.